Vincerò. I shall conquer. Mr. Callea has conquered.
Sean Rafferty, you have tears in your eyes. Quite rightly too.
I do actually, because he's just such a great artist. And to be able to put something like that across without it sounding hackneyed or dull or careworn, a real tribute.
That is how you sing Puccini at the last masterclass. Yeah. That's how to do it.
That's the masterclass. The flags are out, more flags out. We've got, I'm looking for a Maltese flag.
I have seen from my friends on Twitter there is one apparently, yes. But we've yet to spot it. We're looking.
There is a Maltese flag there somewhere, indeed. Right in the middle of the arena.
Yes, there it is.
There it is. Malta, you should be proud. You have a great son. I think this applause could go on for quite some time. Don't worry, that is not a passing aircraft overhead. Just the sound of thunderous feet of 6,500 people at the Royal Albert Hall. I think he's going to have to come back, isn't he?
Absolutely. Well, what a close to the first half of this last night of the Proms. Jiří Bělohlávek bringing the players of the BBC Symphony Orchestra to their feet. Stephen Brandt leading the orchestra tonight. The BBC Symphony Chorus, their chorus master, Stephen Jackson.
And I think Joseph Callea has started the party. That's the signal. That signal of excellence. And the interval coming up means it's all going to be rather mad from now on. There are more flags appearing every nation you can think of.
And speaking of people being choked up, Callea himself, absolutely, tears in his eyes. He is thrilled and obviously overcome by the reception he's got here.
I think they can probably hear this noise in Malta. I'm sure they're making lots of noise there as well. He is certainly a hero in his... in that island, Malta, George Cross, brave, brave and wonderful place.
Well, more from Joseph Callea later, but right now...
After we've all recovered.
Yes, we're going to regroup slightly, an interval now, 20 minutes or so break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking to last night novice, Janet Street-Porter. She's hopefully going to be joining us in a minute. Yeah. We're going to be catching up with one of tonight's stars, Nicola Benedetti, talking to a front row promenader to find out what they've all been chanting about all this season.
Oh, yes, they chant away. But actually, while they're chanting, they're fantastic because they collect money for charity. We're going to be hearing how much they've raised this year and just what they're going to do with it as well. Oh, look, a familiar figure has hoved into view. Hello, it's Janet Street-Porter. Can you come anywhere near us, Janet? Grab a microphone.
She can't quite yet, because she's trying to wend her way through the vast crowds here. Very good evening to you. How nice of you to join us. Sorry to take up your interval, but it's a pleasure to see you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so excited, I can't tell you.
Is this really your first night, first time at the
last
night?
Yeah, I've been coming to the Proms since I was about 8 years old.
Really?
Because I grew up in Fulham down the road, and my mother and my godmother were very keen classical music fans, so... I've been to the Proms all my life, but I've never managed to get to the last night of the Proms.
I hope it hasn't been a cliche for you.
Well, I always watch it on the TV and listen to it on the radio, so I know what I'm in for. And I was going to wear a Union Jack dress, but then I thought I might look like Jerry Halliwell. So
best avoided.
You're looking very smart.
Given that you've been coming to these concerts, as you say, for so many years, what is it, from your perspective as a novice, that makes the last night feel really different or really special?
Well, it's the fact that you can be proud to be British without being embarrassed. Mm. You can be incredibly emotional and over the top. And when the audience start doing all their little weird little jiggy things and bumping up and down, I just think that's in the tradition of, you know, John Cleese and the Silly Walks and Monty Python.
Because for a while you see people were embarrassed. They thought it was too much.
Why be embarrassed? Yeah. It's the British sense of humour. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but for years it was embarrassing to say that you liked the last night of the Proms, but I'm proud to say I've always liked it.
Well, I wonder if the events of this summer, the kind of wider events of the Olympics and the Paralympics, have slightly reconfigured what we think about being patriotic. It's somehow not embarrassing, it's not dark, it's not shady.
And it's
something
not jingoistic.
We can all join in with.
I completely agree with that. It is as if having the Olympics here has repositioned, waving a Union Jack isn't seen as, you know, a few years ago, if you waved a Union Jack or you had the St. George flag, you were kind of thought to be almost a racist for being patriotic. But that's all changed with the Olympics. And it's interesting to look at the audience here. I mean, it's always been a complete cross-section.
Look at the flags. I mean, many years ago, you probably would have just seen Union flags. And now there are literally are the flags of every single country.
I think the proms are the best thing about the proms, and even the last night of the proms, is that it introduces you to music that you would not have heard otherwise. So even tonight, we've had the premiere of a new work. We've had a weird anthem by someone I'd never heard of, a marching anthem. So we've got a kind of...
Oh, Joseph Suk was Dvorak's son-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, apparently he was a train nerd, a train obsessive.
But isn't it fantastic that you willingly submit yourself to this music because it's kind of slipped in front of you and it's part of a much larger event?
But that's how things should be, isn't it? That we should be open, we should get something we absolutely adore and we trust. And I think people do trust the proms. If something's there, then it's worth listening to, it's worth considering.
I completely agree with that, because the other thing is that as I've got older, there's always the danger that you only listen to the classical music or the composers that you've known all your life. But the thing about the proms is that in any one evening, there'll be a work by someone that normally you wouldn't have given the time to day to, and the chances are that at the end of the evening you'll probably go out and buy the CD or want to
hear
it again.
And that is something to be very excited about. Yeah. I think to have 76 concerts that really, as you say, showcase young performers, new work, the real cutting edge of what's going on out there.
And the late night proms especially.
Yes, tremendous.
I mean, I've come to late night proms for of Baroque music, which not completely suited to this venue, but it still attracts a very, very loyal following.
And it works because this huge arena can actually be intimate as well as embracing vast works.
Absolutely. And you even this year you did Nixon in China, you did John Adams, you know, a very avant-garde.
Are you going to sing later?
I am going to sing, but
what's your voice like, Janet?
Appalling.
Can you give us a little rendition of something now? We'll check you.
No way. Let's put it this way.
Down to voice edition.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I've got 65 without a record deal.
Maybe there's a reason. Janet Street Porter, such a pleasure to see you. Have a great rest of your evening. Really good to see you.
Thank you.
Love
thanks
the handbag
for joining
as well.
Us.
Janet, thank you very much indeed. Janet Street Porter, the first last night. Well, the man at the centre of all this is Jerzy Belaklavik. He's an extraordinary man. He's been at the helm of BBC Symphony Orchestra. He goes over to the Czech Philharmonic as the new music director there, and he will be very, very sadly missed. And he certainly contributed, as you will hear, an awful lot to the BBC Symphony Orchestra and life in this country.
What I personally am very proud on is that our relationship went so wonderful that we really reached the stage of friendship very soon, and it lasted all the time, and I'm enjoying this wonderful relationship every minute I am with the orchestra. From the artistic point of view, I think that the certain amount of knowledge of the broader Czech repertoire has been achieved, and I'm proud on it very much, because the results, what we have done, the recordings of the works by Suk or Martinu, Smetana and Dvořák, these all have awakened great interest and brought quite a wonderful response from the audience.
Jerzy is always a pleasure for us in the orchestra, both musically and also because he's always willing to join in with other aspects of orchestral life, happy to come along to orchestra parties and get into the spirit of it with us. Recently, we gave two concerts in Jerzy's hometown of Prague as part of the Prague Spring Festival. You've just heard the orchestra performing part of Martinu's Fourth Symphony. We also played music by another Czech, Joseph Suk. Let's hear Suk's tribute to that great city called simply Prague. Thank you.
Jerzy's proms have been very special over the last 6 years. I particularly remember Jerzy's first last night in 2007 when the incredible Russian soprano Anna Netrebko came and absolutely blew us all away and stole the show with an aria from Bellini's La Sonnambula, which was just tremendous. Out of all the highlights of Jerzy's tenure, for me, what really stands out are his Czech operas, notably Janáček's The Excursions of Mr. Broček. And it won us a Gramophone Award, it got recorded. But he sang every single word of the opera. He knew it absolutely inside out. He had a fantastic Czech cast. It was very difficult for the orchestra, but the orchestra played it socks off. That's one of the highlights for me, and I'll never forget it.
Well, there's a tribute and a half to Jerzy Bielokławek, the man who's leaving the BBC Symphony Orchestra as chief conductor at the end of the season, but he is conductor emeritus. And he's doing very well on the platform. He has had a little help throughout the evening.
Well, we can ask how he's doing, actually, because one of his cohorts is here with us. Nicola Benedetti herself, a very good evening to you.
Well done.
Evening, hello.
You're looking incredibly cool.
Am I? Oh, that's good. Well, I've done the biggest part. I'm feeling like the biggest is behind me.
There was a point in the first movement of that Bruch concerto where I saw you, I mean, apart from anything, soaking up the sound of what the orchestra was doing, which sounded amazing. And there was a moment where you allowed yourself to look around the hall.
Yes.
Did you at any point take in what was going on here?
Do you know, it's a funny, it's almost a contradiction, because on one hand, everyone is here to celebrate and to have the best time and to celebrate the proms, to celebrate music, to really have a party with the music in a way. But at the same time, the responsibility on yourself is enormous. And at my age, to be playing last night at the proms is a huge, huge thing. So to balance being able to join in on those celebrations with seriousness and focus, you know, it's just something you're constantly toying with.
But you did that because you came out, there was a roar from the audience, you smiled, and then you absolutely then have to switch into serious mode. You've got to go into Brooke, you've got to enter into his world.
Exactly.
It's have you played it before? I just wondering, you haven't played it here before. Have you played the Brooke?
I haven't played the Brooke here before, no.
But you played it a lot or not?
I played it a good deal, I have, yes.
I was going to say it's rather a brave thing to do, because it's not an unknown concerto, so you are kind of laying yourself a bit bare there. This is one of the biggies. So, I mean, I don't know if that makes the sense of anticipation better or worse, that this is a fabulously well-known and well-loved work. Does that make it more difficult to walk out on stage and do it?
Well, I think it has its pluses and minuses. You feel that people are with you. They're waiting for their favourite moments. They're enjoying the ups and the downs of the compositions and the high points and the painful points, and you know they're looking for all of those emotions, and it's wonderful to feel that people are really with you for that. But at the same time, of course, they're expected, they know what they want to hear. So.
Yeah, well, you've got the violin under your arm, which don't let it out of your sight. Which means we're going to hear more from you in the second half, which is tremendous.
Yes, you are.
Did you get a choice in that, or did they say, will you play a little Shostakovich?
Well, actually, it's from the CD that I just recorded. So,
your latest CD is all about the glitz of Hollywood.
There are three pieces by Shostakovich.
The depth beneath the glitz, because you include the Korngold Concerto, I know.
Yes, the Korngold Concerto and some pieces from old Shostakovich films. So
she's looking actually a bit Hollywood herself, isn't she?
I know it's terrible. I'm going to ask you about the frock, just because it's fantastic.
It's very
Did you
spindly.
Have a choice of, do you have a kind of rails of these gowns hanging backstage and you
usually
just picked one?
Absolutely not. I have about three dresses that I just rotate for the whole year, and then they go in the bin. Because
come on, how
so
many frocks do you have?
I'm not joking. It's about 5 functioning frocks altogether.
So the groupies
it's
must
not,
get bored.
It's not that much, nobody considering I'm playing this, every second
if this
night.
Was a quiz, nobody would ever get it if they said the next object is 5 functioning frocks. 5 functioning frocks. It's Nicola Benedetti's wardrobe.
Where did I come up with that one?
Anyway, this looks great. I mean, you've got to look fabulous, but you don't want to detract from the music.
Do you know, I actually wore this dress for the rehearsal this morning.
I didn't want to say that, but I saw it.
No, I did, because I just thought, I've never worn it before. It's just not worth thinking about it during the concert. And if I wasn't going to be comfortable this morning, I was wearing something that I've tried and tested 100 times. But I was comfortable, so I went for it.
We better just say hello to the violin.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
It's your trusty Stradivarius.
Yes, this is the Gary L. 1717.
Yeah. fabulous.
I'm very fortunate, very lucky.
Have
to
you
have
brought
it
with the, with you partly because you never let it out of your sight?
Well, no, because I went straight from off stage to a television interview to this interview, and because I didn't have a chance to.
So we don't give you much chance to kind of, you know, get yourself together, have a quiet moment during the interval.
No, not at all. Keeping me working hard.
Jolly
it's
good.
You're as cool as a cucumber, that's all I can say, and you look wonderful and you're playing even better.
Thank you so much.
Well, listen, thank you for joining us in our humble box. Susie and I don't think she's going to forgive me. I said we were like the Muppets sitting here commenting on people.
Yes, he's decided that
I love it here. I might come and join you later.
We haven't said anything grumpy about you at all.
Good.
But the night is young.
Yes.
That's true.
Watch out.
More to come. Yeah.
Great
watch
to see you. Thank you
thank
for dropping
you so
by.
Much. Nikki, thank you.
Enjoy
lovely
the
to see
rest
both
of the
you.
Evening.
Yeah,
thanks, Nicola.
Lots of love.
See
don't
you
forget,
later.
You need a bow for that violin. I hope it's there somewhere, is it?
Don't worry.
Oh, you've got it with
she's
you.
She's holding it.
She's got it all.
Thanks. See you later.
Thank you very much indeed.
Bye.
Well, our audience just sitting outside our little box will be very disappointed to miss Miss Nicola Benedetti.
Well, never mind.
Great
she's
to have
she's
her
allowed
drop in.
To have a moment to herself, I think, now.
We should remember, of course, that the celebrations are going on right across the kingdom. City halls in Glasgow, in Caerphilly in Wales, at the Titanic Shipway in Belfast, and in Hyde Park just across the road. I think they've got a fabulous night for it.
Where Mr. Alfie Bowe is taking part in the proceedings. We're going to hear a little clip of him singing now music by Franz Lehár. This is You Are My Heart's Delight from Land of Smiles.
Schönstes Lied, eines allein auf der Liebe.
Alfie Bo wowing them just across the road from the Royal Albert Hall in Hyde Park. The BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Richard Balcombe and Franz Lehaus. You are my heart's delight from Land of Smiles. I think I heard Alfie shouting, "How are you doing?" in the middle of that. I hope that was a permitted rest, Alfie. He's very cheeky, he is. He sort of left the world of opera, and I'm glad he's coming back to Lehaus. Maybe he'll come back to the rest of it eventually. Very nice to hear you.
You're very strict about the rest there, Mr. Rafferty.
Yes, very strict on checking the score.
We have been talking a little this evening about young players, about new music at the Proms. One thing we haven't talked about, one dimension of the Proms we've not yet touched on, is the idea of inspiring new audiences for music through all sorts of stuff this season. Family concerts, literary events, Proms Plus talks. The Proms also encouraging young composers to step into the limelight. And one of the winners of this year's Proms Inspire Young Composers competition was Amy Erin Milbauer. As part of her prize, Amy got to go to a prom where she heard Anna Meredith's brilliant piece, Hands Free. She was so inspired by it that she wrote a poem and sent it through to the Proms poetry competition, and she won that too in the under 18 section at yesterday evening's Proms Plus event. Amy's poem was read by the actress Juliet Stevenson.
Silent raindrop strikes the sea, wind caresses, creating waves. White horses canter across bulging waters, their hooves striking the swells. Gusts of wind rock a boat, its bows creak and clatter. Dolphins shatter the surface, their wake rising and falling, undulating. Wind battles in a resounding cavern. Torrents of rain drench the forest floor. Deer crush the frayed filaments of ferns. Trees fall after a fatal blow. Red Indians surge through the foliage, hollering and dancing rhythmically. The heavens roar and blaze. Water hisses and snakes amidst the leaves. A train cuts brutally through the saplings, cackling manically at their destruction. There is rhythm everywhere.
The poem Hands Free by 13-year-old Amy Erin Milbauer, who won the under-18 section of the Proms Poetry Competition, as well as winning the Young Composers Competition as well. Juliet Stevenson read it, and beautifully as well. Well, we're live at the BBC Proms, need I say. Hum of expectation as people filter back after just a little bit of fresh air and possibly a glass of something at the interval, and we're ready for all sorts of madness. And some very good behaviour, I have to say, as well, because the Promers, who have been here throughout, they've been rattling their buckets, they've been collecting for charities. Lee McLennan is with us wearing his buttonhole, which you provide for the orchestra, and you've very graciously given Susie and I one as well. Mine's a little bit dark, hers is quite rightly peach-coloured and delightful.
Thanks, Sean.
Can you tell us what you do with the promenaders first, please, Lee?
Well, at the end of every main prom in the evenings, we have promenaders at all of the exits with big yellow buckets collecting for four musical charities.
So, how do you choose the charities? I know Malcolm Sargent, Click Fund, is one.
Yes, well,
Musicians Benevolent Fund.
That's right. That's two of them. We invite suggestions from promenaders as to musical charities that they'd like us to support, mm-hmm. and then the trustees of the collection get together and decide which ones, taking into account the thoughts of fellow promenaders, should be supported for the year.
That's right. So do you just hand out the money, or do you actually try to support a specific project?
We support specific projects. With the Musicians Benevolent Fund, our money goes to the Geoffrey Shaw Fund, which provides awards to outstandingly talented instrumentalists of school age. With Click Sargent, we support musical therapy in hospitals in Manchester and Cornwall for children with leukemia and cancer. Our other two charities this year, Music and the Deaf, with them we're supporting the National Youth Deaf Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And the final charity is the Orpheus Centre, and with them we're working on their project, which helps disabled young adults working with professional musicians.
Fantastic.
to a final performance.
So. Wonderful.
Well, one of the things, Lee, that makes all of you guys, all the promenaders, so distinctive and makes these concerts so distinctive is the shout-out. Can you tell us what happens? There's a shout-out every single night of the prom season, and what are you shouting?
Yes, well, just before the end of the interval, when almost everyone is back in, we let everyone know in a traditional fashion that we will be collecting at the end,
yeah.
and we do give them an update.
And you're very good, you're very coordinated, so there must be rehearsals, I think. Now, we're going to shout out what you've collected so far. Will you let us know? I think we're ready to go, aren't we?
Yes,
would you like
so.
To raise your hand, Lee? And I think we're ready. Prommers. Prommers, are you ready? A little bit of silence.
£82,000,
and these people are all doing it voluntarily. They are stalwarts. They queue outside, they stand for every prom, pretty much all of them, and £82,000 will go directly to a lot of very, very good things.
Worth saying it's not just the promenaders who queue and the season ticket holders who come devotedly to these concerts. It is tonight a party for everybody. As you've said, Sean, celebrations in the parks, Hyde Park, Caerphilly in Wales, Belfast, Glasgow City Halls, but also a host of big screens, 14 locations around the country. And for the very first time, the proms is in 3D in cinemas across the UK. And the players were joking this morning, the trombonists particularly, they're all going to be lunging towards the cameras to frighten everybody.
Do they have to have these little glasses, do you think? Little special sort of
you do have
red
to wear your 3D glasses.
Glasses.
But from what I've heard of rehearsals today, it was looking absolutely outstanding. So a really exciting thing for the proms to be involved in.
Isn't it interesting? It's like Jerzy Bielokławik's dance. I've just spotted Jose Serebrier, a great conductor, sitting here sort of watching. It's very nice to see that other great conductors come to share in the delight there is. Listen, the flags are all out. They're draped everywhere. Susie and I have got our flag guide, but I think we'd be here till midnight if we tried to sort them all out.
Yes.
There are balloons with smiley faces being thrown by the promers. And behind the orchestra and behind the choir, there's a wonderful sort of light show which changes with the music. It goes from green to blue to all sorts of different colours. There's a space to... I'm sure some psychologists could sort out what our reaction should be to it.
I'm not sure at all, but all I do know is, I mean... You know,
Petro Trelawney has just taken a photograph of us. We didn't ask him to do that. You're going to hear his voice later.
We
can't say why, but he is going to be making a very important announcement and introducing some very important guests who maybe people here are not quite expecting.
Yes, a brief but significant appearance coming up from Petro. And the bust of Sir Henry looking down rather imperiously up there with his wreath around him now.
We were going to talk about Sir Henry getting his wreath on earlier, but Jerzy Bielokławik launched straight into the music, and so he was garlanded to the sound of trumpets, quite right too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, quite right, the music comes first in the incredible vigour of Jerzy
Sir Henry's just visiting. He's responsible, really, for this great festival. But he's just visiting. He goes back to the Royal Academy of Music, I think, after the season's over. But he sits there very benignly. I think he was looking through palm leaves during the proms. He was nearly on stage in Glyndebourne's production of The Marriage of Figaro. But he remains, I think, charmingly... not aloof is not the word I mean. Just unchanging, should I say.
Well, I don't know what he would make of the large blow-up sunflower I can see in the arena and the several bouncing balls. There is a palpable... change of atmosphere that happens during the interval of the last night, where everything suddenly gets much warmer in the hall. Everybody gets a little more jolly. You can hear some of the clacks and tooters, various things going off. Everybody's getting a bit rowdy.
A bit rowdy. That's possibly why we have a very loud piece to start the second half. 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. John Williams wrote this. It's all to celebrate heroic achievement. The preparation and the applause afterwards, and it's an Olympic fanfare and theme. Jerzy Bielokławik raising the baton. We'll be right back. Well, that's a nice rising start to the second half. I sort of feel I was in the Wild West, which was written for Los Angeles, after all.
Well, the unmistakable sound, I think, of John Williams, composer of films like film scores like Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, great sound. And it's music by Dvorak next. We're in a very different feel, but lots of high-energy Czech dance coming up.
Oh, it's Carnival, all right. The second of the great trilogy of Dvorak overtures, Nature, Life and Love. And that was certainly life, wasn't it?
Absolutely beautiful playing, I thought, by the orchestra, particularly by the leader, Stephen Bryant. Such a gorgeous tone to the way he plays.
Well, if you wandered into the Royal Albert Hall, you would see it's full of life. And I think Dvorak described that as a solitary wanderer coming into a city and finding a huge party going on. If a solitary wanderer came in here, they wouldn't know quite what had hit them, but it's certainly party time. So you've got the flag list. Have you discovered any rarities?
Too many to count, I'm afraid.
Yoshi is going off. They're just doing a little bit of rearranging. And Nicola Benedetti's coming back. As promised, she's going to play Shostakovich, very serious composer, but he did work as a cinema pianist. And I think, what, about 36 film scores altogether?
I think the thing is about Soviet composers like Shostakovich is that film was, in a way, your bread and butter. It was the mass media of communication, and music was an essential part of what Soviet-era films were about. And he was a fantastic film composer. I think so much of Shostakovich's purely orchestral works feel very filmic to me.
Yes, don't they? I mean, this is, a tale that's going to chime with the Soviet authorities. Actually, it's based on a novel written by an Irish writer, Ethel Lillian Voynich, who married into Russia, and it's about a real-life hero, I think, Arthur Brinton, helping Italian resistance fighters against the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So I suppose that's very much the proletariat and the worker rising up against the sort of capitalist thugs.
And worth saying that if you don't think Shostakovich is your cup of tea and you find it all a bit too brittle and ironic, the score for The Gadfly is just full of utter seduction. There's some of Shostakovich's most beautiful music, I think, in this score. It's absolutely ravishing, and I'm sure Nicola is going to play it so beautifully.
I know. She's disappeared backstage, terribly cool about it all, and it's not very long, really. It's about 6 minutes, and it's the theme. But you forget, because of all the serious angst that Shostakovich could convey in the symphonies or the string quartets, that he was a wonderful melodist.
Yes, and absolutely in that rich Russian tradition of melody that comes straight out of Tchaikovsky. This is not just a composer who's always looking forward to the machine age and the terrible dark moments of the 20th century. He's also a composer very much who looks backwards towards what was going on in the 19th century, particularly melodically.
Well, there'll be a few flags for Nicola, of course. I'm just looking to see if there's a Scottish saltire around. Certainly plenty of Union flags. I think I've spotted a Scottish flag just yet.
I think what you were saying, actually, was really interesting, Sean, that this year, more than any other, and I've been to an awful lot of last nights, as have you, there are more numerous and different flags of so many nations here, and I think that's a great testament to what this concert is.
To what this concert is, to the power of music, and to the life-affirming Proms 2012. Oh, she's changed into black. you're wondering what one of the audience shouted just when Nicola came on, he said, "Great prop," and she gave him a little round of applause.
Not that we should all get too obsessed with the dresses, but no. If you are interested, it's another floor-length gown, another strapless number, this time in black lace.
So we've met two of what Nicola calls her five functioning props. Maybe it's another one, so all I know before the evening is out. We're into encore territory now, Susie, you know, even before we're finished. This is a bit early for this, but it's commissioned for the gramophone by the Gramophone Company for Enrico Caruso.
And this is a chance for our two star soloists tonight to get together, because Nicola Benedetti will be playing a part, as well as Joseph Calea. Next, we're going to have music by Leon Cavallo. He was born in Naples, and this is meant to be, I suppose, his depiction of first light over the Bay of Naples.
Yeah, if you're from Naples, you've got to write something like this, and it's terribly sentimental. I think we should dedicate this to you, Susie. Where you are, not sunlight is missing, and where you are, love dawns. So he gets every cliche in.
Oh,
Sean,
you shouldn't have.
As the sun rises and the sun sets, love will be wobbling around on the horizon. But I think Caruso made this, I suppose, one of his calling cards, one of his encores.
And it sort of has become one of those legendary encores for tenors ever since, really. You've got to do this. It's one of your numbers, your stock in trade, really.
It's one of the numbers, but there's a little bit of extra romance, of course, with Nicola Benedetti, who's gone off stage. It's just a little bit of realignment of the microphones to make sure that, I suppose, both of our star soloists can be properly positioned and balanced. Very important.
Meanwhile, Jerzy Bieloch-Lovets' podium there, absolutely draped in all sorts of paraphernalia,
yes,
ready for
were.
The second half. We've got
it looks
mini
like
flags,
a tie. It looks
streamers.
Like a tie sail.
Well, from this distance, it does look rather like a very shiny tie sail. We've got all sorts of streamers, things going off in the hall, as you can hear, people releasing beach balls and balloons. I see people in pith helmets down there. We've got cloth caps in pearly king queen style, decorated with Union Jacks, Union flags, rather. We've got... Oh, somebody actually dressed as the Queen. I don't know if you've noticed her, Sean, but she's a rather regal-looking lady wearing a crown,
her
draped
madge.
In streamers,
oh, I see her madge.
And sporting a large, full-length Union flag.
Yes, she looks rather like Queen Victoria. I hope she won't mind me saying so, but it's nice to have her with us. Here they come for a little mattinata. Available at all hours of the day and night.
It's Nicola Benedetti, Joseph Calea.
Oh, she's got a wonderful sash on. She's got a fabulous sash on. I think she's ready for a night out. triumph. Another first.
I think they enjoyed that, don't
you? I saw Nicola Benedetti moving away slightly as he was hitting the high notes.
I'm not surprised.
He never heard anyone sing quite so loud. Now, here come a trio of promos. I think going to present, I think, Nicola and Joseph and Jerzy. So, right, with a, well, presents.
Well, Michael Heiser is giving Nicola her present. Michael's 55. He came to his first prom in 1976. He reckons he's been to over 600 proms since then. We also have Chris Frapwell presenting to Joseph Kalea and Aziza Parker giving a present to Jerzy Bielokolava.
So Chris, I think, lives in Devon, coming to the proms in 1999. Aziza's retired, living in Wimbledon. She's been promming for about 10 years. I think this is the great thing. The people, once they start promming, they love it. Here are Joseph and Nicola walking across to bow separately to the different parts of this great audience. I think they've spotted some people they know in the crowd.
I'm not quite sure whether Joseph Kalea has brought a camera on stage or he's brought something. He's got his present in his
present.
Hand, but I saw something, a little flash of something.
I think it's just, I think they have wrapped their presents in very glittery paper. That's a very nice touch. I didn't think I've ever seen anyone do that before, is to bow not just to the body of the hall, but specifically to the different portions thereof. Oh, well, I think Nicola gets a rest now for a moment, but Joseph's coming back. I'm sure people are terribly excited listening to him and seeing him. We have another three wise people coming onto the stage, but they're not bearing gifts for anyone. I think they're BBC geniuses who've got to move microphones around, because this is quite complicated. If you've got the orchestra on stage, sometimes they change and soloists go on, they go off. The microphones have got to be moved so that the right places where they'll stand.
And, you know, a little moment to pay testament to the vast numbers of people who work behind the scenes in television, in radio, online, in the proms office itself. A vast machine of people who have to make these 76 concerts happen.
And
the people who are
so
on the
easy.
Stage at the moment absolutely are aware of the fact that, as Nicola Benedetti said earlier, this is a party, it's also a serious concert, and their job is to absolutely make sure it's captured as gloriously as possible without holding anyone up. It's a huge pressure for all of them.
It is, and I see a lot of familiar faces. So Susie and I would both see back in the studio at Intune, and their consummate professionalism cannot be overestimated. You know, people who come in to play live in the studio are, I think, always astounded by how quickly they can sort things out. They've got a very, very beautiful balance, and they're technically wonderful, but they are artists, actually, as
yes,
well.
Yes, and
they
all
really
passionate
are.
Music fans as well, so great to be able to work with that kind of calibre of people throughout this season
it's
and every
like
prom
ourselves.
Season.
It's nice to see them smartened up. Here comes Mr. Kaleja. He's good to see what apparently is the second most performed song in the world. It was written by a Mexican, all about Granada, that wonderful place in Spain. He'd never been there. 20 years later, he came and he said, oh, it is all true, just as I wrote it.
Di petto de bocca de grana Manana, Manona, cantada, en coplas preciosas. No tengo otra cosa que darte que un ramo de rosas. De rosas de suave fragrancia que le dieran marco a la Granada, tu tierra está llena de lindas mujeres, de sangre y de sol. Que le diera marco a la Virgen Morena. Granada, tu tierra está llena de lindas mujeres de sangre.
Granada by Lara, sung by Joseph Calleja.
That is just an absolutely fantastic piece of colour and sunshine and fun, and he obviously adored every minute of singing that.
We're going to the park shortly, I think. Let us not forget about all the places around the country. We may not hear them on the radio, but they are there, and I think Jerzy's going to invite them to join us here at the Royal Albert Hall, this great musical family coming together.
And they've had fantastic audiences at all of the parks today, and for a change, rather decent weather. So we think none of them have been rained off, and everybody hopefully is having a marvellous time. But
I hope you all
thousands
are.
Thousands of people across the UK at outdoor events and big screen locations all over the place.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, here in the Royal Albert Hall. Good evening, everyone in around the UK who is listening and watching at on TV or radio or online. And also, for the first time this year, the three-dimensional 3D transmission in the parks. So, very, very. And special greetings to the audiences on in the four Promsin Park venues around the UK. This is these are the people who are gathered in Belfast, those in Caerphilly, in Glasgow, and in Hyde Park, just across the road. And now there is a time for you all to sing along, wherever you are. At the last night of the proms, we are creating always the biggest choir in the world. And we are now going to start with the Rodgers Hammerstein classic, You'll Never Walk Alone. And Mr. Kaleja will lead us in our singing. So make sure we really sing well for him.
You're too young to remember Jerry the Pacemakers without the hit of 1963, Susie. Sung at Anfield at Liverpool ever since. It's become just an incredible anthem for everybody. I think it's now become a proms anthem.
It has become one of those new proms traditions. And again, this is a concert, even the last night, that reinvigorates itself not only with new music but old classics. I love the fact that, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein do Oklahoma. Where do you go to next? You do Carousel and you write something like that. It's the most incredible 20th century classic, I think, and it's a fantastic piece to sing, which is why people sing it in football grounds all over the place and in crowds like this.
And everybody singing their hearts out here in the Albert Hall, and the great thing is you just really feel connected with everybody in these islands as we imagine everyone just singing right around the country. Not too long, not too taxing for the voice, because they've got to save themselves one or two other things as well.
I don't know, I think I was straining there already on the high notes, but you know, I'll hold a bit back in reserve.
I hope nobody was listening. I went down an octave, I'm afraid, just to be on the safe side. Anyway, that's what happens late at night. We're going to, with the Fantasia and British Sea Songs, Henry Wood, a great maestro who thought all this up. Joseph Kaleja will be back for that. And arranged, I think, for soloist and orchestra by Sir Malcolm Sargent, who was such a figure at the proms here. They're wonderful pictures of him everywhere. Marvellous picture on the programme with his hair slicked back and his perfect carnation. He was called Flash Harry.
Well, talking of you know, new Proms traditions like carousel, this is one of the absolute stalwarts of the last night. The Proms, this is one of those pieces that you hear and means has a huge amount of resonance for this concert series, yeah, and for this festival, because it is a real party and a sense of joint celebration, yeah, tonight.
Well, the manager of the Queen's Hall, apparently, Robert Newman, for the Nelson Centenary in 1905, suggested this. And at the very first performance, there were flags, so we're right in the line of tradition. But they were in semaphore, and apparently they read, "England expects every man will do his duty." So maybe we should reinstate that and say the Proms expect every man and woman will do their duty and sing when it's necessary.
I have no idea how many flags or how complex the semaphore would be.
I think
for that
might
perhaps
be tricky.
An idea,
I'll leave that to you to organise. I think you'd do it beautifully.
Lots
of free-range balloon, I think.
Yes.
It's got a direct hit on the camera in the middle, that sort of smiling balloon.
Yes, there seems to be rather
you know all these you know all these songs, Susie. I mean, I know the Saucy Arethusa is one of your favourites, isn't it? I think. Tom Bowling's An Elegy. The Hornpipe, of course. Home Sweet Home, which was put by Donizetti and Anna Bolena. It was so popular. See the Conquering Hero comes, and from Alfred by Thomas Arne, Rule Britannia. That's the real one. That's what everybody's waiting for.
And this is Jerzy Bieloklawek's last stab at a last night, his third last night of the Proms, in this, his final concert as chief conductor of tonight's orchestra, the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
I think you are too easy satisfied. It was, it sounded like first rehearsal. So, one more time. That was really like a first rehearsal. Sorry, I forgot.
That was wonderful, that was great, you are in very good voices. And but I still think that we need one another go, but I think we need some help. Let's listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate that this summer Britannia really has ruled the waves, the BBC Proms welcomes to the stage some of the gold and silver medal winners in the Olympic water sports events. From Team GB and Paralympics GB, please welcome Alex Gregory, Tom James, Pete Reed, Zach Purchase, Naomi Riches, Pam Ralph, David Smith, James Rowe, and Lily Vandenbroecker.
Thank you.
Ooh. Wow, what a surprise was that. How extraordinary, all those gold and silver medals glinting on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall.
That is an incredibly moving moment. To see these incredible athletes who have captivated and captured our imaginations the whole of this summer, and to feel that that has been brought together with this incredible tradition of the proms and the last night in particular, and to see them here in front of the adoring public, they all look rather taken aback, actually.
Well, I'm not surprised. The sound is incredible in this hall. And there we are. You know, music brings together everything. This has been a great summer of celebration. And Yerzy is going to speak to us. Traditional.
I think...
Well, of course.
I think that was a real wonderful surprise. And... and it made this wonderful evening even more special. I would like to start by saying thank you and congratulations to all artists who contributed to this marvelous festival. And thank you. And let's give a special round of applause for tonight's performers, our soloists Nicola Benedetti and Joseph Kalechin. BBC Symphony Chorus. And BBC Symphony Orchestra. Next, I would like to thank all of you. As so many of the artists have said already, you are really the greatest audience in the world. Your sensitivity, your attentive listening, and your passion for music, and not to speaking about the wonderful humor, these are the qualities which give the meaning to our performance. And I would like to give a particular thanks to the promers, not only for coming to all the concerts, but also for collecting large amounts of money to support musical charities. Thank you very much. So as we see the Sir Henry Wood's idea to bring music to most broad audience is alive and very well. So let's give some cheers to Sir Henry Wood. So hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip. I think that this summer in London has proved an excellent example of the Greek idea of kalokagathia, the balanced attention to the body and the spirit. The cultivation of the human body and the limits it strives to reach were sensationally represented by this year's Olympics Games. The attention to the spirit was provided by the Cultural Olympiad, amongst which the proms is a shining star. And I am very happy to be part of this most important music festival in the world.
when I was preparing myself for tonight's performance, it occurred to me that sadly this will mark a double valediction for me. And that's because it is my last concert in my capacity of chief conductor of BBC Symphony Orchestra. And that also means that I say farewell to London, where I have been sort of resident for past 6 years. My deepest gratitude goes to the members of the orchestra for their great musicality and enthusiasm, and for the warm, friendly atmosphere that we have created together. It was a real delight to make music with you. As you all know, I am a Czech citizen, and so I was delighted to be awarded an honorary CBE earlier this year by Her Majesty the Queen. If you will forgive me, I won't take this moment to share my deep pride in the honor. So I have it here. And now let me end with the invitation for the 2013 year proms, BBC proms. The BBC Symphony Orchestra and Chorus will be back here on Friday, 12th July 2013, to open the 119th prom season. I hope you will be here.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
It's marvelous. It's marvelous. You are wonderful. I think it would be pity to finish so early. One more time. No? No.
I think this is all we're going to get. We've had a reprise of Land of Hope and Glory. Goodness knows what usually Lilla McLavock might do, but we're heading for Jerusalem, aren't we? I think. Harry.